Love at him. I do. That's written by John R. Rice. Isn't that true? By John Rice? Yeah, it is. It's written by John R. Rice. And I have a message on it entitled So Little Time. It's a missions message. And I remember being at a church going to preach and asked the church if the director, if they knew it. They didn't know it. And I wanted to sing it there at that church. I got a phone call from Wesley Savage today, and he wanted to tell me what he learned in Sunday school. That was always a blessing. I think, what is he, eight now? I think he's eight. And he called me, he says, Papa, I learned something in Sunday school. I said, what was it? He said, well, what do you call a pastor in Germany? Anybody know? A German shepherd. He just laughed and laughed. He got in the car and told his dad. He said, Dad, I learned a joke. He said, this is a joke. What do you call a pastor in Germany? And John said, why? He said, a German shepherd. And he said, well, Wesley, you need to call your papa and tell him that. He said, but don't tell him it's a joke. He said, well, how will he know it's a joke if I don't tell him it's a joke? And John said, he'll know. He'll know. Kids say the funniest thing, don't they? I don't know if I'm being too transparent or not, you know. But I just got the okay from my wife, so I'll go for it. You're going to love this, but don't judge me, okay? And just the way you're laughing makes me not even want to tell it now. But I was ready to go. And I got to tell you, when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. Any man here ready to go? You're ready to go? Yeah, okay, thank you. And when our kids were at home, I'd say, we're out of here in 5, 4. And they knew 5 meant what? Like 1.5 or 2. And I'd be walking through the house, 3, 4. Don't make me leave you. I won't be coming back. And we're in the office, and our certain granddaughter was there, and we were getting ready to leave, and she needed to go potty. She wanted Granny to go help her get finished up, but I was ready to go. And Rachel has her hands filled, so I said, Debbie, just go on, but hurry up. We got to go. We got to get out of here. We got to go. So I'm out in the car, and she's in the bathroom with Maggie. And Debbie said, you got to hurry. You know, we can't play around. You got to hurry. Papa, he's waiting on me. He'll be upset if I don't hurry up and get out. And she said, like the time you were kind of cry-talking and he was yelling at you? Now, she might have been cry-talking, but I think I wasn't yelling. I would think I was just loud. Like the time you were cry-talking and Papa was yelling at you. So, you know. Now, Eddie, you stand up and give a testimony too, okay? Now, some of you can go put that on the internet and they're probably the only true thing said about me on the internet because I said it. We have laughed and laughed and laughed about that, and it's been convicting at the same time, so I don't know what to do with it. Oh, 1 Peter chapter 3. Pray for me. Pray that God helps me not to be yelling and my wife won't be cry-talking any. Which, what I think that is she's seen a lot of cry talking going on at home, is what I'm thinking, you know. oh, my goodness. What I love about it, some of you folks, you sit out there and you act like you've never had that in your home. Bless your heart, some of you have it all the way to church on Sunday morning. Then huddle up and sing Amazing Grace with each other. First Peter chapter 3, look at verse 8 through 11. This is a real basic message, but it spoke to my heart and I just picked out three things I want to share with you tonight. Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, now he's actually concluding from the marriage counseling he's given the first seven verses. He talks about wives being in subjection and submission and to your own husbands and these different things. And then he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Now, many of us here tonight are pitiful, but it means be tender-hearted, okay? Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Verse 10 is what I want to focus on. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile or deceit, is what it says, means. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Lord, help us to love life and see good days. And let us follow the principles that Peter laid out for the church here, that it might be a way or method of attaining life worth living. In thy name I pray. Amen. He says in verse 10 that he that will love life. Do you love life? I hope so. I love life. I love God. I love the Lord. I love my wife, even though she cry talks sometimes, but I love her. And I love my children, although there's oftentimes I want to just suffocate them. I love my grandchildren, and there's a couple of them I can get a piece of once in a while too, but I love them. I love you. I love our church. I do. I love missions. I thank God for our missionaries and for people on a different continent that have no earthly clue of God's love for them. There's a lot of things that I love. But if we're going to really love life and see good days, Peter gives us three principles to practice. Let me tell you what they are tonight. Number one, be an encourager. Verse 8 says, finally, be ye all of one accord, or are of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Be of one mind. In other words, be cooperative. You know, it's easy to be disgruntled. It's easy to see the negatives. And can I tell you this? We don't have to agree with everything. We don't have to believe everything. There are cardinal doctrines of the faith that are there. But we ought to be cooperative. That's being encouragement, being an encourager. An encourager is cooperative. It means simply harmonious thinking. You know, to be in one accord, to not be in discord. I won't take time tonight, but I could have Andrea or Rachel or someone come up on the piano, and I could have them play something beautiful. And you'll notice the keys, the white ones and the black ones. When they play them, they're in accord with each other. And then the piano has been tuned to be in harmony. And then the organ is in sync with it. And even Jim with the trumpet is there. But I want to tell you, if I went over there on the piano and just started banging it in discord, there's only so long you could stand it. And he tells us to be an encourager, we have to be cooperative. If we are going to be encouragers, we have to think straight. And thinking straight doesn't mean being on page in every area. The Old Testament prophet Amos in Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. But that doesn't mean we have to be agreed in everything. But it does mean we have to be agreed on cardinal doctrines of the faith. And we can't move in those places. You see, there's a question, who will encourage you to walk with God? Who's encouraging you to walk worthy of your vocation? Who's going to encourage you to be a godly mother or a godly father? Who's going to encourage you to love your wife or love your husband? Who's going to encourage you to love the Word of God and to go deeper in your trust and in your faith for God? Who's going to encourage you? It's not going to be the marginal Christians. They're not going to do that. It's not going to be the unbelievers. They're not going to do that. The only ones that are going to encourage you in your walk with God are those who are walking with God down the same road. And we need to be cooperative. When people get disgruntled, when people get in discord, it's like they can't get out of it. And there's some, and it takes some time. You know, there's some times in your marriage you may have a bit of discord, you may have some cry talking, and but you got to get out of it. You work through it, and you stay married. You know, you go to work, and there may be some discord at work, but you've got to get through it. You don't quit your job. You push through it, and you get through it. By the way, you become better because of it. This thing about, it's my way of the house. Listen, we're not in the seventh grade, and it's my ball and bat, and I'll go home if I don't get my way. That's ridiculous. And let me tell you this. Paul says, if you're going to love life and see good days, be an encourager, and an encourager cooperates. Secondly, he says to us in verse 8, having compassion one to another. An encourager is compassionate, simply sympathetic. Having compassion one of another, not pity towards each other, but being of the same heart. In Romans 12:15, Paul said, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You see, that's the kind of heart we ought to have. That's what an encourager does. He's sensitive. She's sensitive. She can detect the mood, the situation, and quickly be compassionate. They can rejoice that, hey, they're expecting you, having their first baby after many tries. Wow. And then they can weep and say, you've got a heart blockage and you've got to go in for heart surgery. And they could be sympathetic. You see, an encourager is cooperative. An encourager is compassionate. Romans 12, verse 15, Paul said, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Compassion is putting ourselves in the other person's place. There's times that people come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I need this. Can you help me with this particular situation? Sometimes it's financial. And if I've got it, I do it because I remember being there. You know, may be there again sometime. But I remember being there. Be compassionate. Don't start judging, why don't you work extra hours? Why don't you get a second job? Are you just lazy? Don't be condescending. Don't be critical. Don't be hyper critical like that. You don't know their situation. They may have some character issues, but I tell you what, your doctrine of teaching them to be a strong worker and build character and do right and be stronger is not going to put food on the table for the kids. Be sympathetic. Compassion moves you to action. It's one thing to say, I'm compassionate. It's another thing to say, I got to fix this. I got to help this. In Mark 6:34, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. If we are going to be encouragers, we have to be cooperative and we have to be compassionate. Thirdly, notice what he says in verse 8, love the brethren. An encourager is loving. especially towards the family of God, especially towards the brethren. He says, love the brethren. We are a family as a church. We ought to be a church of encouragers. We find Barnabas, the son of consolation. He was a great person of encouragement, of encouraging others. He encouraged Paul when no one would deal with him. He encouraged John Mark after he quit on the mission field. The disciples said, we're going to change your name to Barnabas, the great encourager. You know, there's a bond that should cover a multitude of sins. And our church family and our church members, as families of Bethel Baptist Church, we're no different. We should have a bond about us that helps us love each other in spite of ourselves. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep that harmony or that love for each other. It's an endeavorment. Understand that sometimes this is difficult. Can I tell you? Nobody gets your pew. There's not a pew here that belongs to anybody. Nobody gets your parking space. There's not one parking space marked out there. It's you know, we're like German pastors. We're German shepherds. We become very, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Huh? Territorial, yeah, you know. And understand, be loving. Don't be so quick to judge. There are some people who are just different. There's some that are just weird in every church. Are you the one? You're different. And we can look at people and say, boy, I tell you what, the Allisons, they're just different. Or the Sorianos, man, they're really different. All they ever want is Mexican food. You know. The Millers, man, how far do I go here? You know. And it's so quick to see the Allisons and the Millers and the Sorianos when we have this huge beam in our eye and we're just as different as we can be. Aren't you glad we're different? I am. I'm glad we're not all the same. An encourager is loving, especially towards the brethren. He says, love as brethren. And then an encourager is respectful. He says, tenderhearted, pitiful, and courteous. Ever so often you meet people who are just different. And ever so often you meet people who are just a jerk. But can I tell you this? It doesn't give us a right to treat other people like jerks. That's not who Jesus is. And we're not to be that way. Paul admonishes us to be tenderhearted in Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another. No reason to tear down people. No reason to talk down to people. No reason to be condescending to people. No reason to lay hands on people or on children. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He tells us, if you want to live a good life, determine to be an encourager. And I thank God for the encouragers that we have in our church. You know, it was a great encouragement to me yesterday. It was as we met yesterday at 9:30 and began praying, I heard in my prayer group across the auditorium people praying for their pastor. Man, that was a great encouragement to me. We have people who are in the hospital right now. I'll talk a little bit about it later. But they need encouragement. We have people who've been severely hurt, and there just needs to be encouragement that's there and help. We have people who are laid up and just got home from the hospital. They need encouragement. You know, they're not looking for doctrine. They're not looking for reproof and rebuke. They're not wanting driving lesson tips and things like that. They need encouragement. And listen, an encourager is cooperative, is compassionate, is loving, and then is courteous or respectful. Secondly, Paul tells us, if you want to live a good life, determine to be a blessing. He says in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, refusing to render evil for evil. You see, we need to make a conscious decision that we're not going to return that which is bad that's been given toward us to someone else. We're not going to deliver it back. Someone says something on the internet about you, and you're going to go back. Don't play that game. You know, you're not in seventh grade. Get out of that. Good grief. You know, the Baptist church and social media is about gotten to this. I'm made out of rubber and you're made out of glue. What you say about me bounces off me and sticks to you. Well, you're in seventh grade. You know, let it go. Just let it go. Determine, come to a point that you let it go. I didn't give it to our media people, but in Psalm 34, verse 12 and 13, it says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile or deceit." See, we may think because they said something bad about us, now we have license to come back to them. But we don't. We really don't. Jesus was our great example in this in Matthew 27, verse 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And I want to tell you, you know, people can say what they want to say. They're going to say what they're going to say anyway. And there's people who get upset over it. They get, when are they going to say that? That's not true. That's not what happened. That's not the truth. When are they going to say it? They get all hot and bothered. I'm going to tell you something. You can't stop people from saying what they want to say. But you can not get involved in it, not become part of it, and just don't answer it. In other words, no paybacks. You see, I believe God takes care of this area. There's the law of recompense. We reap what we sow. What goes around comes around. And we don't have to be one dishing it out. Romans 12, 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It's amazing how people can get together for events and for happy occasions, and then it turns into a slaughter about somebody else. And it gets back to that person, what was it? Because there's usually somebody in that group they felt comfortable with that comes back and says, "Boy, this was said and that was said, and this is what, you know." And, you know, you need to be careful not thinking that people come to you because they have great confidence. They might just think you have garbage can ears, so they have license to say this stuff to you. But I want to tell you this. Let them say what they're going to say. They're going to say it anyway. You can't stop them from saying it. And it may not be true. It might be partially true. Whatever said, we ought to examine in our heart to see if there's any truth to it or not. If it is, we ought to deal with it. But after we deal with it, don't render evil for evil. Don't strike back. When we strike back, some people passing down the street, they don't see that they struck first. They just see us striking. And it causes great hurt and harm. Remember, we are called to be a blessing. He says, but contrariwise, blessing. A blessing speaks good things. Be a blessing. Words that will edify the hearer. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We wonder why we lose the power of God in our life. We get caught into this. And I'll tell you, we're all carnal. We all are natural. We all have feelings, and we all can get caught up in this. And we may get caught up in it, but you, when you find out, when you realize it, stop it and withdraw from it. We're supposed to be a blessing. And since we are blessed, we ought to be a blessing to others. To live life, we must be a Christian. Not just in word, but in deed. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Hey, you have a good life. How do you love life and see good days? Be an encourager. Determined to be a blessing. And then lastly, this might be shocking. This is deep. You might want to write it down. Determined to be Christian. Verse 10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." Let me say, to be a Christian, we ought to look like one. A Christian should not look like that of the world. Good days, bad days, no matter what it is, we ought to be able to not fit in as well with the world. We have so much to look forward to see days ahead. And we should look like a Christian and see good days. John R. Rice said that a sad countenance on the face of a Christian is a poor testimony. And that's true. Secondly, what ought to talk like a Christian? Refrain his tongue is what the Bible says. I was a couple of years ago, I was in Walmart. And actually, I was here at the office, and it's just one of those days I just need to get out of the office for a bit. So I ran over to Walmart to see if you could find any 22 ammo. You can't find a box. When I was a kid, you used to buy a box of 550 22 bullets for $6.50. That's when I was a kid. That's long ago, really. And then it got to where it was like $14. Then it got to where it was like $16.50, then $18.50, then I remember being like $22.50. I mean, it's just outrageous for 22 bullets. Most people who like firearms, they shoot 22s, they plunk because it's plunkers. It's less than a half cent a round to shoot that stuff. And you have fun doing that. There's no recoil to it. My grandchildren all came last April, and I went out and I have a friend who owns a gun store. I said, "I know you got a box. I need a lot of 22s. And I forget what I paid. I think I paid $43 for it. You know, I would have paid $143 for it because I had an exciting time with my grandchildren. But I went over to Walmart, and of course I had a suit on. I was dressed in a suit and left the office. I just went over there for a few minutes to see if they had any ammo in. And there's a man that was there, and he was looking at the ammo. We were waiting. You know, you got to wait like 3 days before the person comes with the key to open the box. Sporting Goods, someone go to Sporting Goods, please. They're not listening, you know. One time I got on the phone, I found the button to push. Sporting Goods, somebody need, you know, come. I told you I don't like to wait. When I left, the lady was cry talking. We were talking there. This man said, "Why is this 9mm? Why is it like $22 and this is like $8.50? And I said, "Well, I wouldn't shoot that ammo." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Well, it's made in Russia. The casings are steel." I said, "All the other casing these bullets are made are with, they're aluminum. Aluminum is cheap. You can't reload it." And I said, "And then the other is brass, like this Winchester white box is brass." I said, "It's really good ammo. That's what I like to shoot." I said, "See, your gun's got an ejector in there. There's an inside ejector, or it could be an outside ejector, but it grabs that little lip of the casing and it pulls it back and it flips it out so it can load the next round up. But I've read about these Russian bullets here. The casings are steel and they're breaking the ejector. So you think you're getting a good deal, but if you break the ejector of your gun, what have you spent there?" And this guy, he's cursing. Every other word is a profanity. And I'm not talking about, you know, there are no good curse words, but I mean, he was sailor quality, this guy was, you know. And I knew, I was embarrassed, and he didn't take the Lord's name in vain, but he was cursing, and he was saying some of the worst four-letter words, and he was saying them about guns and politics, and he got on Obama. I almost cussed with him on that one, let me tell you, but I didn't do it, you know, but of course I didn't. And I knew it was coming, and he said, "You know a lot about guns." I said, "Well, I've been shooting since I was 5 years old. I've been running guns all my life." And he said, well, you know a lot about it. He said, are you a policeman? I said, oh, no, 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 I'm not a cop. I said, I used to work with law enforcement years ago. I was a chaplain for the Shelby County SWAT team. I said, I'm actually the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. He said, wonderful, I go to Englewood. You know, and all of a sudden, the whole conversation turned around. He started talking and praising the Lord with me. Can I tell you this? We need to talk like Christians all the time. We shouldn't have to look around to see who's there before we speak. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. Neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Obviously, there is more to being a Christian than how we look and than how we talk. The Bible has much to say, but it warns us about lying. It warns us about deceit. It warns us about gossip. It warns us about tellbearers. It warns us about busybodies. Have you ever just sat in a restaurant and just listened to people? And listened to them on their phones? Isn't it amazing how you could be in a restaurant and someone gets a cell phone call and they think they're the only one in the restaurant? I was sitting in a restaurant with Debbie, just she and I, a long time ago. And there's these older women, you know, 50s, 60s, mid-60s. And they were talking about this woman. And they were talking about how nasty her house is. And what a nasty cook she is. And they said they never want to eat anything she brought to the social. And I'm sitting here, and you have to understand, I literally have ninja ears. I can hear what's going on. You better be careful what you say. I can hear, you know, my girls will get together. They'll be in the office and they're whispering. And I'll say, I can hear you. It may be something I don't want to know. I don't want to hear. I can hear you. And Debbie, you know, she's had 10 operations on her ear. She can't hear that well. But I said, oh, well, these women over here, they're just giving it to this woman. I forget what her name was, and I think her name was Lily or something like that. And they were just, you know, how nasty her house is and how unkempt she is and how she doesn't know how to match her clothes right. And I got to tell you, women are really vile people at times, you know. I mean, guys, we don't care. We don't care what you wear. Just stay out of our barbecue and our pie, and we're all good and everything. We were at Cracker Barrel. I remember now. And there was that big round table in the corner. And I'm listening to them. And then, guess who comes in? Lily. So, oh, Lily, here, we were just talking about you. Here, have you sat by me. We're so glad you could come. And I thought, oh, God's going to judge you people. You see, it's not just the language you use. We're not just talking about profanity, but the Bible warns us about lying and deceit and gossip and tell-bearing and busybody. Listen to me. You want to live a good life, be Christian. Be Christian. Refrain your tongue. Look like a Christian. See good days. And then lastly, act like a Christian. He says in verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Do good and seek peace. Following the Lord's resurrection, Jesus confronts Peter on the shores of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. I preached there just a week or so, a year ago this time. He asked him three questions. He says, lovest thou me more than these? I don't know what the question meant. He says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these boats that you picked back up, your nets and your fishing, your vocation you went back? Do you love me more than these other disciples? Do you love me more than these? But it boils down to this. Let's stand to our feet. He He says, if you love me, feed my sheep. He tells us in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love him, we'll live like it. How do we have a good life? Peter says, for he that will love life and see good days, be an encourager. Can I tell you this? Anybody can kick the tires, but it takes an encourager to see the good parts of the car. Be a blessing. Lighten the load of someone else. Bear their burden for just a little while. Make a little bit of difference in their life for just a day or so. Be Christian. Watch your tongue. The language you use and the deceit and gossiping and tale-bearing that might be involved. Do good. Serve. Eschew evil. Be a Christian. Peter says, if you'll do these things, you'll love life and you'll see good days. You know, these are not hard things, but there are things that we truly need to consciously determine to do. The opposite of these are natural for us. They come easy. And I think if we do that, we'll be a loving family. I think if we do that, we'll be a loving church. I think we're a loving church now, but I think we'll be a greater loving church. And I think that people would see Jesus in us more than what they do. But it's a conscious decision to do so. Father, help us in these areas. Help us so that we might love life and see good days. Help us to refrain our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. Help us to eschew evil and to do good, seeking peace, that we might say, what a wonderful life we have, that we might see good days ahead. Encourage people. Be a blessing to people. Be Christ-like to each other's and others out there. In thy name I pray. You come. hope God met with you and helped you tonight. A couple of things. Brother Dean Manley called right before the service and he said, "Man, I'm feeling good, but I'm a little bit lonesome. And tell the church if they want to come by and see me tonight, I'd love to have them come by." Now, he's staying with his brother at 39 Northwick Drive. Not far from here, probably about 3 minutes. And if you can go by and see him tonight, you know, don't stay long. But I know it meant a whole lot to him. And go by there. You know, he's diabetic, so you can't take him milkshakes or donuts or anything like that. Or banana nut bread or anything good like that. But anyway, he, did I say 37? Well, thank you. I got 37 written down here. Thank you so much. Well, I just trying to get you all lost tonight and everything. It's 37 Northwick Drive, right? And you go down Pleasant Plains, turn left there at Fellowship Church, and it's right past the Catholic school. You turn back right. It's back there in the right somewhere back in that area. And but Northwick Drive, I know he'd appreciate it. Thank you, Mickey. Appreciate that. I have 37 written down. And then, yeah, it's North, W-Y-K-E, Northwick. Yeah, it's all messed up and everything. And be there if you can go see him. He'd love that. Then Jen Post, she entered the hospital last night. They thought she was having a heart attack. She's already had one heart attack, at least one that I know of. She was scheduled for Friday for a heart cath. But she didn't have a heart issue, but she does have pneumonia, and the chest pain was from her pneumonia, and so they've decided to keep her, and they're all booked up tomorrow, but they're going to try to work her into having a cath, heart cath tomorrow. So pray for Jen if you would. And what do you know? What room? Yes. Thank you. Anybody else want to correct anything else I've said tonight? I'm going home to 1111 Bear Creek with a woman who cry talks sometimes. Thank you. I appreciate it. So she didn't have, I'm just saying what Lance told me after.